Welcome to the For Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 23rd of July, recording at 9:52. Now, let's have a quick look at what's going on here in these ever-interesting markets. In terms of stock markets, we had a strong Asian sector. They were pretty well all up on the day, and some decent gains. China, Shanghai Composite was up 1.95%. That's the best gauge there. The other indices, the Shenzhen Composite was up 2.7, and the ZSE component up 3.64, so it was a good day. Taiwan also up 1.35%, so was Korea, was up nearly as much. So these are strong gains. Thailand up over 2%, the Philippines up 1.75%. Japan a little bit more subdued, but holding quietly there near its high. Okay, what do we make of these markets here? Well, my feeling, and I've said it too many times, so I'll be quick on this, but that Japan really is the interesting situation. It's more than an interesting situation. I think it's an extraordinary opportunity among developed markets. This had been out of favor for so long, and it underperformed for so long. Everybody had given up on it. Nobody was in the market. And now you've got Shinzo Abe, which is breaking with the tradition and going flat out for growth. Now, how many other developed economies can you cite where you can say that the government is going flat out for growth? A lot of them would like to see growth improve, but they don't have the power. Abe does, not least following Sunday's landslide victory, which gave him control over both houses. And the UK government would like to see more growth, but it's handicapped with a difficult coalition. And the United States, a lot of positive things to say, and I'll talk more about that in a moment. But the government is a redistributive headwind. So here's Japan, good valuation still. Going flat out for GDP growth. It's also a technology-savvy economy, and one that's likely to do well given the stimulus that's taking place in this accelerated era, I maintain, of technological innovation. Now, what about China? Well, it's going to require patience, but it's cheap, and that makes it interesting. Here, I think the government looks like it's got the right instincts, in my opinion. They've been cleaning house, and therefore, we may see a lengthy support building process here overall. But the next big surprise from China is going to be on the upside, certainly not the not the downside. So I favor that. What about those ASEAN little tigers? Well, they've done so well, really so well since 2003 that I wonder if they aren't going to be range bound for a few years. India is interesting. Impossible to govern. No government's ever able to get any kind of power. So you have a chaotic situation overall. The infrastructure is generally poor, except in Gujarat, where Mr. Modi comes from. And it's, again, unwieldy. But look, you've got some terrific companies in there, as we know, and they continue to do well. So that's very much in India's long-term favor, but it needs an election victory next year by a government that is economically oriented and has the power to implement some sensible policies. Governance, rather, is everything. as we say so often at Fuller Money. Now, let's go to European markets. So, encouraging recoveries, and there's some value in Europe, and Owen's talking about that today. You don't want to miss that section. It's really very good. Going to the Americas, Wall Street, I've said this before, it's somewhat overextended, somewhat overbought. It's got high valuations. Valuations on estimated earnings are really up near 2007 levels, but I don't think we have anything like the year ahead that they faced it at that time. But nevertheless, this is not an expensive, beg your pardon, this is not an inexpensive market. It's really a pricey, one of the more pricey markets overall. Now, the United States has those terrific advantages that I mention over and over and over. It invented the fracking, it's benefited from the fracking, it's got very competitive energy policies, although prices have moved up here in the last couple of months here. Now, it also has the technological edge in quite a big way. And that's hugely important in this era. They're ahead of Japan in a great many of their technologies. They've also got those top autonomies, and that's a good story as well. But the market's priced all that in, I feel, as far as the short to medium term is concerned. And the other problems, the problem of those valuations, I think, is considerable. And I think a lot of those corporations, not least the autonomies, will maybe see some erosion in those earnings because of tax changes, or the cooperation among so many different countries on tax avoidance in here. And I think we're going to, we're moving into probably a more difficult period of negotiations on debt ceilings and so on between the Republicans and Democrats. I just think it's too high here overall to be a stellar performer here in the short to perhaps medium term. I think it's I'd be well pleased if it were able to range. Have a look at the NASDAQ index. That had fired upwards from its May low, pushed through to a new all-time high, but seen some downward dynamics over the last week and a bit here. Now, where do investors go? Well, we've been seeing a lot of rotation in markets. And what's the best performing sector? I'm guessing at this. I haven't gone through all the calculations, but I think I'm on reasonably firm ground in here. I would say it's going to be those miners. They have shot upwards, sometimes just only from early July. And every bull market that I've seen, pretty much, really going right back to the 1960s and studied closely, typically, it doesn't always happen, but typically, you get the resources experiencing a terrific run late in the cycle. Is that actually beginning? Well, we're certainly seeing a lot of short covering. We're seeing some bargain hunting. The valuations on those miners, and you want the miners that can actually produce something. And that have some decent earnings, some decent dividends, but their share prices are very low in terms of valuations. They are trading at half to a third of what some of the more popular sectors around the market are trading at. And so if you get a decent dividend, and some of those big ones, the Rios, the BHPs, I think they bottomed and may well surprise on the upside. Elsewhere, what about the US dollar? Owen and I are convinced that this is a base building process that's going on. The Bases in these major currencies often take quite a long time to form, a number of years. I think that the situation in the United States is, while it's attractive for the long term, and I think we will see the dollar appreciate over the long term, I think it's going to remain range bound, possibly for a good portion of, if not all of, President Obama's second second term. That would take it into October, I believe, 2016, before we get at the next general election. Elsewhere in the currencies, we of course had a lot of weakness in the emerging market currencies when the yen was engineered lower by Shinzo Abe. And that caused a lot of people to flood out of the emerging market sector generally. I think that's probably overdone. Everybody's worried about it. I think too many people have retreated to the so-called safety of Wall Street, which I'll repeat, great outlook for it over the much longer term, but the next few years could be tricky. But I don't expect any big downside move. We don't see any evidence of a bear market on the horizon here. That could change, and I'll mention some factors in a moment that could contribute to that. There could be some nasty, nasty surprises, but not at the moment overall. Now, gold, stellar performance yesterday, of course, and this was again a bravura performance in here today. It's currently trading up $9.70. That's taken. I know it's up over $10. It's taken bullion to 1346. It's kind of doing it on its own, and the previous relative strength leader in the sector is the weakest today. Palladium down $10. Platinum, it's pulled up. It was down at 1423, but is currently trading up a dollar at 1449. But it's gold that's gone to the top of the table. In here, and it's also outperforming silver. So I think we're getting some something beyond short covering. We're getting some significant demand. That certainly greatly increased the chances the last couple of days that we have seen a meaningful low this year, and that well, the higher it goes, the better the ch in the short term, the better the chances that when it gets a decent pullback, that it then forms a higher reaction low. Now, let's see. Well, let's wait until this rally runs out of steam. But what I would say is that if it can then hold over 50% of the rally, that would technically look good for the medium term overall. Grains, that cooler, wet weather in the United States, throughout most of the growing regions in the United States, that's good for the crops here, provided it just doesn't get too wet. But the perennial problem of drought is in near Texas, and that region is being avoided. Industrial metals are firmer. That's in line with my comment that those mining shares have been the best performers in here this month. Now, what could go wrong? Crude oil. It's uncomfortably firm here, in my opinion. Now, we don't have the amber, let alone the bright red lights flashing here. We don't have that kind of danger, but another $12, $15 to the upside, and we certainly would. So I'm a little edgy about where crude is right now, and that on the WTI is 107.42, and on the Brent 108.40. It's the WTI that has had the biggest move up, obviously. in recent weeks. But if gold, I hope it doesn't get that move to the upside that I just mentioned. I don't think that it should. But if I'm wrong on that, or if it happens for any reason, that can really hit global GDP growth. Let's hope it doesn't happen. And on that note, all the very best to all of you.